welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running the design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in hot and humid Montclair, New Jersey.
So before we actually hit record, we're just talking about the fact that August and September used to be nice, quiet, easy months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Summer was ending, getting into fall. And all three of us are just like busy, busy, busy.
Crazy.
Personal stuff, family stuff, and a lot of business stuff. So, hey, what's happening in studios and life for everybody?
Well, on that busy note, I'm in and out of town, like seems like every other week these couple months. I was just out in California for a training in LA. And then had a very cool speaking gig in San Francisco. I may have mentioned it before, but this was to a group of astronomers and astrophysicists.
Fun.
It was very fun. I spent like a couple days with these guys and spoke on the last day and saw how they present. And what's cool, which is which I learned about them, and I imagine this applies to some other fields, but they're obviously professional scientists, but they're professional presenters. Like literally they have to present well to advance in their careers and as part of their job.
That's great.
And so it's something they, you know, not everybody realizes, but yeah, if you present, I mean, teachers are professional presenters. So we talked about how to get their professional presenting skills up.
That is really awesome.
Great.
Like, yeah, especially because you say teachers are professional presenters, and there's so many other careers are, but I don't think they recognize or realize they are professional presenters, and they don't work on presentation skills.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and that's again that's what we talked about. I think these were early career astronomers, so they're realizing now that they need to, in order to get professorships, in order to get, you know, postdoctoral things, they need to be good speakers to gain attention and get invited places to speak. So it's, so they're learning.
Oh, interesting. So this was, how did this group come together? How did they become a group?
It's a fellowship run by a foundation that's one of my clients.
I see for
astronomers. So they, since I know the foundation, they invited me out, and I was the only non-scientist speaking the whole week. I mean, there were people from like NASA and like observatories. It was like and like people who discovered planets there.
I mean, oh my gosh,
it was very very cool. So I love learning new stuff. I learned a lot.
That's cool. I got my, well, we brought this up a couple of segments ago. We all have been re-awarded our MVP status.
From Microsoft, yay.
Yes. But we did not get, and this, it's silly. It's a little disc. I have been waiting 11 and a half years to get my 10-year little blue disc that says I've been an MVP for 10 years. I love it. I was so excited about that.
That's cool. I received my 5-year disc.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I'm the baby around here.
Yeah. I just received my 14-year MVP disc and I'm very excited about it.
Cool.
Okay, back to design.
Oh, shoot. I was going to interrupt you. I just got a text from Lauren. She's landing in Portland. Lauren, my middle daughter, who's lived in Japan forever, is coming home tonight. We thought it was tomorrow. Thank goodness she let us know so pick her up. But I'm just so excited.
So she's been working in Japan for how many, like a couple of years at least,
she's
right?
She's been working for 2 years. Before that, she went to college for a year. And then before that, she went to high school for a year. So, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just excited.
Oh my goodness. No, like design team. I mean, so Lori and I have been gone kind of this extended time period we weren't really counting on. And as we started with, it's kind of a really busy time. Like crazy busy in the number of projects, and it's all fantastic. I mean, let me rattle them off. Let's hear. Amber was out of state most of the week on show site. The office team has been handling a huge financial industry template project where there's like six templates, and why there's six, I still don't quite understand, but there's six different divisions and each one needed their own thing. And you know, as we're going through the templates, the consistency between them, all these little factors were different. The very last thing, and Lori caught this while we were actually traveling, is, hey, all the information text, what do you call the text when you're doing master layouts and, you know, the text placeholders have the placeholder text? We call it informational text. I can't think of
directional. I call it directional.
All of it was inconsistent. Some of it we realized was like the Microsoft default. Some of it was stuff that we had put in the first round a couple of years ago. And other ones were just weird stuff. And we're like, wait a minute, these are totally inconsistent. So when you bring up a content slide across the six templates, they would have different placeholder text. Nobody thought to look at that. So, you know, all this inconsistency elements and, you know, across six templates, and each template has, I don't know, about 27, 28 layouts. It takes a while to get all that through. That project is fine. Oh, and it was also not only the templates, but it's a whole master presentation set. So there's a lot of presentations that are being formatted onto those. We finalized a Animation Studio template. That was so fun and really, really fun to work with. It was a full pitch presentation as well. So they're going to be working with it. What else we've been doing? Oh, you know, the one that we're really having fun with, or at least I'm having fun with, we're working through the design elements for an interactive touch kiosk application. It's going to be used at a medical conference. So it's a big 60-inch monitor and you touch it. And but we're working through it. It's kind of a layers of design process. Do you guys do this when you're working? I mean, this one's a little bit different because it's more of an app. But, you know, we first say, hey, the home navigation could be in these type of layouts. We gave them more or less wireframe looks. So we've gotten all these like, hey, we like this idea, we like this. And now we're into actually designing buttons and, you know, kind of combining the stuff. So the client just yesterday for the first time kind of saw a bunch of these design elements in a mock-up. Like, here's what all these ideas you've selected would look like together. Is this going to work? It's fun. I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be very cool. What's up with you, Sandy? Besides, I know you've got Lauren coming home, which is like, should take precedent over anything.
Maybe I can get her to help me. We, you know, like we were talking about, it is just a crazy month. Nolan, I think you had mentioned, isn't August supposed to be calm? And I said, I haven't thought that for 10 years, you know.
I think if you're a psychiatrist or French, right? Don't they take?
Yeah, exactly. Europeans take the month off. I don't know. I used to think it was quiet. Insane. Part of it is, of course, we've got a September holiday coming up. And then at the end of the month, we start traveling. We're doing Presentation Summit, all of us. That takes a good week out of our schedules. Then I'm going on two vacations.
So your busy is a little different than Nolan and I.
No. It's crammed into that short time frame. No, August has been insane. September is going to be crazy because I have only a few weeks to get a bunch of work done. But we're going to our annual vacay in Door County, Wisconsin, which is so, I can't wait. I just feel calm talking about it. And then the following week, we're taking off for England and we're going to visit John and Trish Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wonderful.
And then we're going to spend some time in Scotland. So I'm pretty excited about it. So what's going on in other news, in industry news, business news?
There's a lot, isn't there? There's no lack of things happening in the presentation world. Nolan, what do you got?
Yeah, big thing on the PC side, new UI icons have shown up, I believe, for most people at this point. The icons that you're used to, like, you know, insert slide, save, you know, all those things in the ribbon have been redesigned, and they're, I don't know. I want to be generous here, but they feel a little trendy in that they're all outlined, and a lot of people that I've been talking to are not in love with them, or at the very least, it's taking a while to get used to them. and they were redesigned for the main reason is they're now vector based, so they'll scale and work on any resolution screen, which is a good thing, but not just changing the format, they also changed the design. So some people are having some difficulty with that. They haven't shown up on the Mac just yet.
I haven't received them on either of my computers.
Oh, you haven't?
No, and I'm an insider fast or insider slow, whatever it's called.
Well, I am. Yeah. So I haven't been on my Mac very often the last couple of weeks, but I have gotten them. So some mixed reviews on them, but you know, as with anything, we'll adjust, but they're a little wonky. Troy, do you have them?
I do, and I'm actually probably more excited about them, even though I don't like them, because about a, well, it's probably more than a year or so. Sandy, you might have actually been in the meeting. They were showing off some new interface, and the buttons were horrendous. Just flat out saying this honestly, the buttons were horrendous because they were basically a gray button. And because they didn't have this ability to change them, each one had to be a separate image. So their mandate was, hey, minimize the amount of load time, which means fewer images. So the designer at Microsoft had settled on this gray. So when you went to like a white interface, it was like too light. There was no contrast. It was too light a gray. But then you went to the dark interface, it was too dark of a gray. So now you had a darker gray on a black, and there wasn't enough contrast to see them then. And it really showed up in the QAT, which is, you know, takes the interface banding color. I was like, this is ridiculous. You've basically taken what was functional and made it non-functional. So the vector ones, in addition to resizing and scaling, Nolan, they can recolor them, and it makes it so it'll work on any interface. So from that perspective, I think it's a huge step forward, but it wasn't announced. It definitely caught people by surprise in the pre-beta, in not a good way. And you know, do either of you have that link to the Microsoft blog that talked about them? We should probably throw that in the show notes. I can dig it up. Fonts, specifically Google Fonts, which are a web-based, and they're usable by any app, they're by any website. They can be used by games. I don't know if you've seen this one. This one came across, and I think this was in an AIGA newsletter is where I caught this. They recently launched a collection of Korean typefaces. Two things about this. First, the fonts that we're used to, called Latin fonts, they have about 250 glyphs, you know, accents and dashes and characters. Korean fonts, what I learned, they have over 2,000 glyphs for every single font face needed. So I'm like, oh, designing a Korean font is a major undertaking.
Right.
So Google has this whole new process of kind of using artificial intelligence to preview everything. It's really, really cool. It's really, really fast. And the fonts are actually beautiful. But second, Microsoft has been unveiling its new font direction, which is called Cloud Fonts. It's a little bit different process. And if you look into a presentation, I think everybody should have it now. When you click on font dropdowns, you'll get a little cloud icon next to certain fonts. That means those are ones that can be downloaded, and they'll show up on any device as long as you're connected to the internet. It's a different process. I'm not as fond of it, but at least it's moving in the right direction. But Microsoft has added some international fonts as well, some international font typefaces, I should say. And I hope they can take advantage of what other companies like Google are doing to support their users. So I'm going to put two links in the podcast show notes, because I can't really describe them on here. But one is, you should go to this demo site for these Korean fonts, because they animate better than any presentation you've seen. And these are just fonts. They have like 3D perspective being dynamically applied, dynamic resizing. It's really, really cool coding. I'm like, I want this in a presentation. And it's basically this little microsite that Google put out to show off these Korean typefaces. And then I'll also put the full article. I'll find it. But yeah, so fonts are kind of big, because I think we're actually getting better. Things are going to get better soon, hopefully.
We've been waiting.
Cool. So NX Powerlight, our favorite compression software, is launching September 11th, their next version for Mac. That's 8.0. 8.0 has been on the PC for a while. And the main reason I know about this is because for the last bit of, I don't know, the last couple of months or so, I haven't been using it because I've been getting errors on it, and I just haven't had the time to investigate.
Oh, really? Me too.
Whatever.
It's been a mess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So it's not just me. So I finally reached out to them, and they said that Microsoft changed something, you know, of course, we're getting these errors now and trying to compress for files, according to NX Powerlight, that were not initially created on PowerPoint. So I don't know if they were initially created in Keynote or Google or whatever, but I don't know what it is, but there was some file structure thing underneath that was preventing them in certain cases.
Hey, you know what? NX Powerlight sent me a note like, hey, we quoted you in an upcoming blog post. Is that okay? And actually, that blog post is out there. It was very cool. They talked about the idea of custom profiles for different compression settings. And I got to have a lot of say and please, please, please. It wasn't so much like me saying, hey, this is a good idea, as me begging. And I got credit for it.
Cool.
Well, listen, speaking of Summit, that is very newsworthy. We're going to be in San Diego on the 23rd. So Troy, are you going to be pulling a podcast together, get a big group of experts?
I am. I'm planning on a couple of things for us. We're gonna do another mega size group recording. I haven't talked to you guys about this, but I was thinking about bringing a small recording system and do like mini interviews with people throughout the week. You know, just come up with a list of questions and ask them, and then we can kind of weave them into future episodes. Sound like a good idea?
It is. And sure. Maybe interview them as they're coming out of a session, or presenters going into their session. I don't know. So that could be fun.
While Nolan's speaking, I can go, "Hey, what do you think of this?"
Yeah. In your golf course voice.
Nolan, what are you doing? You got a couple of things going.
I have a heavy year this year. I'm doing the Entrepreneurs Roundtable. That's a Sunday night. That's a late night session. Then I've got sessions on designing tables, designing charts, constructing an effective presentation story, and something new, 10 things never to do in PowerPoint.
Oh, I'm going to attend that one. Doing a morph showcase, 60 minutes of just morphing fun. I did a thing on morph 2 years ago, and it was when morph was brand new, and I just kind of went through and had a lot of examples. Well, what's fun is we've been using morph now in presentations. So I've got the full session. So it's a little bit of his how-to, a little bit of tips and tricks and ideas for using morph. And then a lot of it is examples of using morph, and they're all pulled from real presentations. Now, I'm not actually using real client content, but we took those same slides and made them fun. And, you know, that way I can hand them off. So that one's going to be really fun. Then the other one I'm doing is another 60 minutes, and it's a 3D showcase. So 3D models. And I did a thing on 3D models. Ooh, last year maybe, or the year before again. I'm kind of, but anyways, 3D models are not going away. They're just getting maturity level now. So this one is a little bit more of 3D models being used in real projects. Here's ideas. Not, hey, look, I can put a model in and make it spin, but you know, here's how we used it for stylizing. Here's some animation ideas we used for, you know, real slides, real world business presentations. So
nice.
You know what? I should talk about Lori's if you don't mind, because Lori's not on. Yeah. Lori is presenting for the first time. Which is a big deal but she's doing a tapas session or 20-minute session. And I have no idea how she is going to do this topic in just 20 minutes. Because if you do not know, Lori, my incredible wife and co-founder of TLC Creative Services, is a professionally trained graphic designer that has years of experience in the print industry and is the ultimate on perfection in design. I mean, just everything looks great when she gets through with the design process. The session title is The Lost Art of Typography, a Trained Graphic Designer's Approach to Typography in PowerPoint. So she's basically talking about how do you take professional typography skills that, you know, you learn through schooling and then years and years of working in print design and actually apply it to like your PowerPoint slides. Then there are a lot of important things to know about typography. No one that aspires to take real design principles to presentation slides should miss this session. I am very excited about it. And she promises to have a 1 minute history of typography to kick it off with.
Sandy, you're going to be in the help center again this
year? I am. I'm not presenting. I will be with Steve Rinsberg, John Wilson, and Glenna Shaw full time in the help center.
And that's for everyone attending. I mean, the help center is...
I pay a visit every year at least.
So many great things. Well, so two things. One, it means Sandra is easier to find and talk to than almost anyone you'll find because she is literally at the summit to talk to people and answer their questions. And you can find her in one place, which is awesome. And two, the help center is I love hanging out there because you learn things by knowing. I mean, when people have a problem. Mm-hmm. Finding the solution, it's like, oh, that's a great idea. Or just seeing people with great ideas. I think it's the best thing going.
It is cool because you'll see a group of people standing around, you know, mulling over, how do we solve this? I remember pulling in Microsoft people. Microsoft shows up every year. And when they're available, we pull them in and they help troubleshoot as well. And it's a really great place to be. I love the energy.
Okay, today is fun. It might be a little bit of a rambling conversation that we entitled PowerPoint Shortcuts. They can be keyboard shortcuts, right-click tricks, or just cool ways to do things faster. We basically share our collective PowerPoint experience, everything from app setup to cool code to faster design, better presenting not being a better presenter, but ways to use the application for better presenting, and anything else that helps us get more done quicker, better, or professionally. So with that, here is our conversation on PowerPoint shortcuts.
Right. So I'll kick it off. So PowerPoint, we're going to talk about a lot of different things, hacks and little known keyboard things and other programs stuff. But PowerPoint itself, and we are going to be, we're focused just on PowerPoint today. PowerPoint itself has a bunch of built-in features that are there really just for efficiency's sake, just designed to help you make do things quicker and faster. So there are tons of them. And I think some people use them and some people don't. And that's sort of the difference between sort of efficiencies. Sandy, what's one of your favorite like built-in features?
Well, it's built-in, but we can customize it. It's the QAT, customizing the QAT. And of course, you can customize the ribbon. We've brought that up many, many times. I think both of you have custom ribbon setups to import if anyone wants to do that. But that is, I think, first and foremost, when I train on PowerPoint templates, part of my class is helping my group set up a custom QAT.
Yep, me too. Yeah, that's a big one.
Definitely the best improvement or option for improving your design time.
Outline view is something that, so instead of your thumbnails on the left-hand side, you can click, you can view outline view is what it's called, where you get just a textual representation of all the slides. And what you can actually do is you can type in your headers and your bullet points right there, and they automatically create new slides for you. Now, they're not designed, well, actually, they will be designed if you have a template going. But so you can type in there, you can increase and decrease bullet points, and you can see sort of in real time, you know, how many slides you have. And this is assuming you're using headers and bullet points. And it's just, some people like it for organizing and basically doing an outline of their presentation first and then going to slides to start designing them.
I'm jumping ahead, but this is a keyboard shortcut. How do you get into outline view? Because not many people even know it's there anymore.
Oh,
well, you can go to view, outline view. I'm sure there's a keyboard command for it, but you can also just click down at the bottom right, the normal view. If you basically, that's a toggle. So the more, if you click that, you'll go from thumbnails to outline. Click it again, you'll go back to thumbnails.
Yep, that's the way I do it. I just hate going and finding it, because if I look for it in the ribbon, I usually spend about 30 seconds trying to remember, okay, which one is it in? Is it in insert? Is it in view? Is it in review? All you gotta do is click the toggle down below. It changes your thumbnails from one to the other.
Also an interesting thing, I guess, if you, let's say you have a bunch of headers and some may not be true header boxes, you can go into outline view and you'll see basically headers that are missing. And then you can go right to those slides and see that might be a floating rogue text box as opposed to a real header.
Photo albums. Do you guys use photo albums? I know they're not really wonderful, but I use them.
Once every 2 years. Once every year or 2 years. Like I have a use for
You're
them.
Ahead of me.
But yeah, they're.
So I actually don't use them to build a photo album. I don't want a photo album. I just want a bunch of slides in the presentation quickly. Yes. And it lets you basically select a folder of images and it drops them all. And there's a few settings, nothing robust, but you end up with a bunch of slides. Then I copy that set of slides. I delete the first one, which says, hey, this is a new photo album. And I paste that into my presentation. And now I have a bunch of slides with all the images on them very quickly.
On shortcuts, I'm sure once you dump them into the template, you just select all the slides and select the appropriate layout for them.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And voila.
Perfect.
That feature is not available on the Mac, sadly.
Didn't know that.
Okay. So another design shortcut is to set your default text boxes, default shape. And that's the fill color and the outline if you want one. What else is there? Default line. And you could set the weights, the color, the end treatments, round.
Do you ever do what I do, which is I'll be in somebody else's file and I'll make a line and it'll be like shadowed and
yes.
just ugly. Like what? And then, so I select the thing and I make the change, blah, 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 whatever. Then a couple slides later, I need a line again, and I do the same thing. And instead of going back and setting it, I'll just redo the I'll do this like two or three times
because you think you're only going to have to do it once rather than setting it as the default for you.
But it's like it takes like half a second.
Okay, so let's clarify. So to make anything the default, so let's say I've just opened up a sample presentation here. I have a dark blue box with a bold white lettering on the inside. And if I want every box to be that, I'm just going to right click on it. Mm-hmm. All the way down the right click command, it just says, hold on, I'm trying to find it now.
Set as default. So what about chart templates? Do you use chart templates or CTRX files?
Yeah, occasionally. If you have a lot of charts and you need to have them and they're similar to each other in terms of content and you need them all to look the same, you can go ahead and design and format one of them the way you want it to be. And then save it as a chart template. It actually saves it as a .crtx file someplace hidden, or not so hidden, but someplace on your computer. And then that adds it to chart templates, the pull down. So you can then go into other slides and apply that style to other charts.
You know, I used to, well, I still, when I create my PowerPoint templates, I always give chart examples custom designed to that client. And I design them in such a way that they could be saved as CTRX files.
And there are also some pitfalls with it too, yes. For example. Yes. Like the x-axis gets hard-coded in. So if your next chart has a very different scale, it's still going to have the old x-axis that you have to go in and manually change. So it's not perfect, but it definitely gets you far. In terms of color and look, and do I want tick marks? Do I not? Do I want, you know?
It's a very cool feature. We use it on a lot of our files. Sandy, we'll oftentimes in our templates, if we know it's there, we'll create a master template. We'll create a master chart with the styling we want. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a little instruction set says you can reuse this chart. Right. But big disclaimer, this is only going to be available on your computer. Every computer will have to repeat the same process.
Another tip we mentioned, I think a few episodes ago, was using Zoom to auto create sections.
Yes.
If you're using headers, you can use the Zoom, again, only on the PC right now, to auto create your sections and then just delete the Zoom slide it created if you don't need it. So that's a nice
one. One of my favorite shortcuts, use it weekly.
Well, what about just even opening PowerPoint? Do you have any shortcuts for that? I use on my laptop, you know, I've played with this. I don't use it regularly because I'm a creature of habit. But hey, Cortana, open PowerPoint works. Yes.
Oh, really?
I have not used Cortana much at all. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'm still at the hard time of talking to my computer. When you go to your file open on the backstage, finding files in your drop-down list or the recently used is a very fast way. And then I also have some that are pinned to the start menu. I'm going to mention that one later, but that's another way to open up files quicker. But what I will say is for opening PowerPoint, not an actual file, on the Windows side, I have the PowerPoint icon on my taskbar down below, you know, where the start menu is. I've just added it to my taskbar so it's always present. When you launch PowerPoint or any application, it shows up with, hey, here's the open presentation or the open applications. I have that one down there. I actually have three different web browsers, OneNote, PowerPoint, Outlook, and File Explorer are always available just to be faster.
On the Mac, the dock at the bottom, or you can put it on the side, has all your applications. You can obviously launch PowerPoint, but you may or may not know that you can also put specific files. It's in the dock, but it's down at the right. There's a little bar separating them. So like down there, I put my PPT assets file that has all my gradients and icons and pre-made shapes and things. So that's an actual individual file, not just the application that you can put into your doc as well. Okay. Other little non-keyboard shortcuts we're talking about. This is specific to the Mac. There's a permissions issue having to do with what they call sandboxing, which I never quite understand. But on the Mac, if you, and I don't know when this showed up, but it's been there for a while. If you are in Excel and you take a chart and you you paste it into PowerPoint, you'll get this pop-up asking the user to grant permission to do this. So it's some sort of obnoxious security thing. And you just click OK, grant access, and you move on. But if that really annoys you, there is a folder, a special place where you can put charts. So in your on your in your Mac system, that will not give you those pop-ups. So Ron De Bruin, who's an Excel MVP, he's got a blog post about it, which we'll put in the resource notes. So it's a complicated path under your user file and group containers and whatever. But I've created a folder in there called Excel Charts, and then I have a shortcut for that on my Finder Windows. So if I'm doing a lot of charting, if I do it just like once or twice, I don't bother putting it in there. But if I'm doing a lot, I'll dump an Excel file in there. And then every time I paste, I won't get that error.
Let's go to the big time saver here. And we're probably going to have to kind of ramble on this or break it into topics somehow. But keyboard shortcuts. Because the keyboard is everything. And now this is kind of weird because we're moving into a touch interface world. And none of these features will really work if you don't have a keyboard. So we're saying this as in the real world today, keyboards are still really important, even though the future looks to try and be getting rid of them. And I use the keyboard all the time. Mm-hmm. So as example, just to create a new presentation, because we just talked about how do you open a presentation. Creating a new presentation is not file new and that whole backstage thing, which, by the way, you can turn off a lot of the backstage. You can just make a file a new. I use Control N. Control new. Perfect. Makes a new presentation instantly.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty, you know, a lot of these, they're at least the ones that I tend to use, are ones that are sort of universal across most programs. That it's easy, since I'm popping back and forth between lots of programs, I tend to use the keyboard commands that are sort of shared or sort of generally universal. And that's definitely one of them. But one that's not elsewhere is the slideshow commands, which are F5 on
everything.
Well, yeah. I think on the Mac and PC. Yeah. F5. Now that what always annoys me is that starts it from slide one. So almost by default, I always do Shift F5 because almost never do I want to go back to the
when you're building, because you're present, you're working on a slide, you want to test it. Exactly.
Hey, technical clarification, F5 starts from the first non-hidden slide. So if you're one of those people that adds a hidden slide at the beginning, it will not start with your hidden slide. It'll start with it'll go to slide two if that's the first non-hidden slide.
And if you're rehearsing, Alt F5 or Alt Shift F5 will bring up presenter view, which is a nice little way to force that if you don't have another computer or monitor attached.
Wait, so Alt Shift presenter view, I use, it's Alt plus S and B.
S and B?
Try that.
To bring up presenter view?
Plus S and B.
Oh, S, B at the same. Oh, look at that.
Oh, that does it too? Okay.
And what we're talking about here is if you're on one laptop, you only have one screen. Normally when you go into slideshow, you're going to see the slides. It's not going to give you a presenter view because there's no two monitors, because presenter view is designed for, hey, I'll put presenter view over here for the presenter and I'll put slides out here for the audience. So the Alt Shift F5. So it's start from this slide. Mm-hmm. I should just say, the F5, you can choose to use Shift or not. By adding Alt, it says make it in presenter view on this one monitor, and that's great for rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about text and objects and things like that? What do you use the keyboard for?
Yeah, I teach this, what I call the mouse keyboard dance, which is the thing that I do mostly. And it involves the keyboard part of it involves group and ungroup. So group is Control G, ungroup is Control Shift G. So the whole keyboard mouse dance is basically to align things and distribute them.
Okay.
The example I always give is I have a bunch of circles all over the place, and just by going back and forth between selecting, so Control A, select everything, Control G, that aligns everything, Control G, that, Control Shift G, ungroups them, and then use the mouse to go up to your QAT and do the align, distribute things, but you're going back and forth between those. And, since you do it day in, day out, you can do it really quickly, jumping back and forth, but.
Okay, so total diversion here, Nolan. But so you've got a bunch of circles everywhere, and are you saying how to ungroup them so you can use the align tools and then regroup them? Yep. Did you know, and actually I'm saying this as I don't know if it works on the Mac now, or maybe I should say this to Sandy as well. Did you know that you can now align things within a group?
Yes.
So if you have all your circles in a group, you can select each of the circles within it and the mm-hmm. alignment tools work within the grouping.
Right. But you have to manually select right. each one.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. That didn't used to be a feature for a long time. So you always used to have to ungroup to get the alignment, but then you would lose your animation or your Z order and other settings. So yeah, I think that's actually kind of a cool trick. It doesn't fall into this, but knowing that you can select individual things within a grouping and make them align, distribute, you know, obviously recolor and
Remember those days when you had to, you needed to change something in a group and it would destroy all your animation. Redo it. That was before Animation Painter, before being able to move things within a group.
Absolutely.
Before change picture and all that kind of stuff. So.
Simple stuff like Control C for copy and
Control D for duplicate. I love Control D because it duplicates it. Then you put it where you want it. And then Control D, PowerPoint remembers the spacing, the location, and you end up getting a pretty close repetition. It's not perfect though. It fails a little bit. I don't know if it's by a pixel or whatever. So you end up having to realign and distribute, but I like Control B D better than copy and paste.
I usually use Control Shift Drag, not Control. Oh. Drag. So it's using Control key, but it's with the mouse to duplicate.
Right.
And I use the Shift key if I want to keep the alignment, and then I distribute. Control D is used a little bit differently. I don't use it for that spacing.
Okay.
If you move something down halfway and then you dupe that one, it moves it down. I know what you're saying, mm-hmm. but it never is quite, it doesn't perfect. Quite do it for me. Yeah.
Right. So you mentioned clicking and dragging. I do that for selecting certain objects on a slide. So you hold the cursor outside of the objects and then you drag to the opposite outside of mm-hmm. all the objects you want to select. And you've got everything on your, instead of selecting one object at a time, you can click and drag and select multiple. How's that?
Perfect.
You know what bugs? You know, one of the things that bugs me about PowerPoint versus Adobe, in Adobe, if you drag and you capture any part of an object, it will select the object. In PowerPoint, you have to completely lasso the object, which I don't think this is good.
Personally,
I'm not sure.
I go back and forth mm-hmm. on which one I prefer. The biggest problem I have is moving back and forth between programs. I'm in Illustrator grabbing stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I grabbed that because I touched it. And then in PowerPoint, I'm like, I touched it. Why didn't I grab it or, you know, select mm-hmm. it? And you know, it's the inconsistency for me. OK, how about this one? This is a really, really cool shortcut. And when I do this in training programs, people are let's just say I'm amazed at the number of people that go, really, you can do that? How about if you want to get a perfect circle, a perfect square, a perfect triangle? You know, I want the circle to have an equal radius all around, not an oval or the square. It's so simple. Just
select and click, right?
Yeah. So this isn't a keyboard shortcut, but
don't drag.
You just grab this square out of the drawing thing and just single click on your slide, and it gives you a perfect square. Then you would hold the shift key to, you know, resize it or whatnot. Same thing with a circle. You know, technically a triangle is not a triangle. An arrow is perfect because the arrowhead is the whatever you call the mathematical. It's 1/3 height higher or whatever that is. The star, the same thing. You know, instead of just because most people drag it to the size they want and that distorts it. Of course, you can hold the shift key and that keeps it, or you just click. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that little trick, and it's been built into PowerPoint since PowerPoint existed, as far as I know. You know what? The other one to go with that. Do you guys ever use the lock aspect ratio for images or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time.
So lock aspect ratio, when you do it, what it does is it makes it so only the four corners of an object are available. The inside circle ones are not available. So
you
gotta do is click and drag. It won't distort it mm-hmm. no matter what you want to do. So we lock aspect ratio on images when we hand them off to clients. So that the client can't destroy their logo. Like, we will lock the aspect ratio of that image so that they can't distort and make their logo long and thin, because that's their logo. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a cool little thing to know about.
It's good. I'm glad you brought that up. I do it on in our clients' icon libraries.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's protecting people from themselves, because in PowerPoint, in any program like Illustrator, InDesign, it's really easy to distort things and make them not you know, you can make the person suddenly look a little bit heavier or thinner because you distorted the image to make it fit the space. There are better ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, text shortcuts. We got all kinds of text stuff because we're working in text all the time. No matter what people say about PowerPoint and minimizing text, it's still text program for lots and lots of everyday stuff.
So selecting text, double click for a word in a sentence, triple click for the entire text box will highlight.
Paragraph. Triple paragraph. Click will be... That's
paragraph, right, paragraph.
You can do... you can do all of the bold, italic, underscore. You can do those by texting, you know, double click and it's a control B, control I, control U for underline. Can you do strike through? I'm trying to remember. Somebody showed me. You know what? The strike through was using one of the ones that it's the alt, go to the ribbon and this and that. It's not easy a one. We did a whole blog series on just a lot of PowerPoint shortcuts and, selecting text, control A, we didn't actually say that one. Control A is for selecting all the text in the placeholder. The double click, but we use keyboard all the time. Control shift down arrow will select the paragraph from that point down. Control shift right arrow just selects word by word straight across. So instead of doing the multiple clicks, you can do it all. I will throw, this one is much easier to see than it is to explain. I will put the link to that particular blog post because it's really cool once you know how to do it.
Nice.
Oh, what about superscript and subscript? How do you guys do it?
Well,
I
put, it's in my QAT, but I know there are faster ways and I don't use the shift.
I don't use that at all.
Oh, well, see, medical and financial, we're using them all the time. Yep. Control shift plus key and control equals. Superscript is the control shift plus, and we think about it because it's plusing it up, and then the subscript or to make it go lower is the equals key. I don't have a mnemonic for that. But yeah, superscript and subscript. Why they're not in the ribbon, I don't know, because I think they're used in so many industries, but yeah, that's a good one to know about.
Of course, there's a simple one. Control X for cut. Control, yep. You mentioned control C, control P.
S for save, control S for saving the file. Always save your work.
Yeah.
You can do paste special. So control V is paste, control alt V will bring up paste special.
Oh, I always forget that one because I'm always going up to the paste and the drop down going, I know there's a faster way to do this.
And also on copy paste, you can copy paste formatting by control shift C or control shift V. And that's something I feel like I've only learned recently. But that's where you can select, you can pick up like a text box or a shape formatting, control shift C, and then it's there forever. Then you go to a slide 50 slides away, select everything on the slide, control shift V, and it applies it to everything. So that's can be a huge time saver.
Okay. Do we want to talk about tables or presenting?
Well, let me do one more before we move on. The changing case. So uppercase to initial caps or capitalizing each word. To all lowercase, shift F3. And my story there is my very first presentation summit, the very first presentation I went into, someone taught me this, that paid for my entire conference to know this change case.
Presenting our tables, cool things or frustrating things? What do we want to talk about?
Presenting.
Okay, let's talk about presenting. We already talked about the keyboard F5 to start a shortcut. What are some other presenting shortcuts?
I'll come back at the end to talk about Mac specific things, but my keyboard shortcut for slideshow on my Mac is command return because that is, I've set that in the Mac OS. That's what it is on Keynote. And when I was years ago, when I was using Keynote a lot, I just wanted it to be the same. So anyway, so my F5 does something else, which we'll talk about, occasionally that gets me into trouble. Anyway, in presenting mode, you can just cut all that out. B and W, if you hit the B key, you get a black slide, or just black, and you hit W, which you probably shouldn't do, but that gives you a white slide. It blinds your audience. So we use that all the time just to black out the screen if we have to.
And a lot of remotes have that. And usually I have to tell the presenters, don't hit this key because if you don't know what's coming, it's there. I guess we could talk about in presenting, the escape key gets you out of presentation mode quickly. I don't think most people want to do that, but it is part of presenting world. The other place you use it, Sandy, you know about this, custom shows. The escape key, will take you, if you're in a custom show, the escape key basically ends the custom show and takes you back to wherever you came from to get into that. Of course, then again, if you hit the escape key more than once, you're out of the whole entire presentation. So it's a little bit of a danger thing.
One of the things I teach is using the number keypad or any of the numbers. It doesn't have to be. It's not specific to the keypad. If you hit a number, it'll jump right to that slide. So if you're on slide 50 and you want to go to slide 35, you type 35 and hit enter, and that jumps you right
That's
to
cool.
it.
That's cool. I haven't used that.
I use it all the time. Very often I'll just keep like a little cheat sheet, generally not of every slide, but sometimes of every slide, but generally of like important sections or things that I know people might want to ask about, or it will jump to a hidden slide. So if you have like a table of numbers and somebody says, hey, you know, where's all your data on that? You can say, okay, fine, 3-5, enter, and you'll jump right to that.
So the end key and the home key also work to go to the very first slide or the very last slide, the first non-hidden slide, the last non-hidden slide.
Okay.
And I always like to know where those are because those are usually graphic, you know, theme graphic. You know, it's like the opener or the closer. And if everything goes completely wonky, like all of a sudden somebody stands up and you start having this discussion, you're like, okay, I really don't want to have this slide that's up there with all this data that's totally irrelevant. I'll just hit the end key, knowing that I'm going to take a theme graphic. Let them finish their discussion. While they're discussing, I should preface this. I take note of which slide they were on. So they were on slide 135 and I just hit enter or I hit end. Now I'm on this nice theme graphic. The presentation is not disrupting the conversation. When they kind of go, okay, let's get back to it. I'll type in 135 so that the presenter still advances to the next slide. They're in control and they've kind of gotten their bearings back. But I use that enter key, the number pad thing all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing though, Nolan, you got to make sure the number pad's active because, you know, you'll type in 44 enter.
You don't have number.
And all you do is go to the next slide because enter key is the same as advance. So yeah, you got to make sure the num lock thing's on. You know, I know we talked about Sandy the alt enter or the what was the keyboard command to do it the other way to get into presenter view?
A plus S and B.
Right. So
I mean alt do you ever plus use S and B.
Alt.
Yes.
Alt. Yes. Yeah. The A key wouldn't do us much good. Do you guys ever use control? And then the slideshow button down in the taskbar. Oh, nope. Oh, control and slideshow is pretty well. It's done a lot of things over the year. Currently, I'm going to do it right now just to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Control and that. Yeah, it opens up a new Skype meeting.
Yes,
it used to do a bunch of things, but so a lot of people control and then slideshow used to open up a little view of the slideshow, which is great for when you want to edit. Now it's alt and slideshow. So if you have,
I remember that, open, Troy. I remember. Yeah, when
so
it
now
did that.
Hit alt, which highlights your whole thing. You know, the ribbon will list all the key combinations. Ignore mm-hmm. that and just hit the slideshow and it'll open up a little mini window slideshow now.
Oh, so it's just a different command.
Yeah, it's still there. It just kind of shifted to a different command. And I use this when I'm working on like a laptop and I want to see the presentation and I want an edit view. I'll do this little window, which is not resizable and not movable. It's really a big limitation. Mm-hmm. But it creates this little mini preview. I used to use this a lot for doing capturing, like video capture of a presentation when I knew I just needed a smaller file size. I'd capture mm-hmm. this little mini window.
Oh,
so, okay. So control shift show, control slideshow gets you into a Skype presentation. Should you so decide to do that? I don't know anybody that does.
Why?
It's just, you know, it's just their new online. It's the same as going to... it's the same as going to slideshow and present online, and then Skype is one of the options. It's just a shortcut to that.
I think of my clients who are on Office 365, who are switching over to Skype for all their telephone, for all their presenting. I can see where it would, if they know about it, it would be a great shortcut.
We do Skype meetings all the time, but I just open up PowerPoint and go into slideshow and hey, they're seeing the slideshow because I share PowerPoint. So they're going to see the slideshow.
I know.
It's just a different way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
So, hardware, the new Logitech Spotlight, which I think we've talked about, you can program those buttons and you can program them with any key commands. So any of the key commands we're talking about, you can program into their three buttons, and depending on how you press them, you get two options, so a total of six. So I've programmed mine, for example, to be able to go into slideshow mode from, so shift F5 from the current one. I program another button to be escape since I'm always going in and out of slideshow mode when I train. So I don't have to go back to the keyboard. And I think the coolest programming you can do to it that I haven't, because I have just so many buttons. I haven't programmed it in because I don't play a lot of videos and don't use a lot of sound, but you can program one of the buttons to control the volume of your computer. And the way it does it is you press the button, so it activates the volume. And then if you raise your hand, literally, if you raise your arm, it increases the volume. And if you lower your arm, it decreases it by through an accelerometer. So it's a very cool thing that if you need to, or if you just want to show off.
It is really cool.
Because you can raise both your arms, like do like an Evita thing, and then it lower them down. So that's cool. So you get basically six functions. You can program black slide. You can program, you know, jump to the beginning or, you know, whatever you want to do. Show, you know, marker.
So you use that when you're training, the spotlight?
I use the spotlight occasionally, but I definitely use the buttons to, of course, to advance to the next slide, but also just to quickly get out of slideshow mode and get back into it without having to be at the keyboard. It just saves a few seconds.
Very cool. It's a cool piece of hardware. And the volume thing is definitely the coolest gotcha gimmicky trendy cool thing around. Okay, tables. Anybody got anything good to say about tables and ways to make it faster?
Well, I know you do.
Oh no, I don't. My biggest frustration. Biggest shortcut for tables is leveraging the tables design and the preset options.
Yes.
You know, the table style options is that's my big, instead of manually doing it, I try and find a table style there because my other shortcut is basically to go running out of the room screaming because tables are such a manual process to format, and to try and animate a table is not an option. So you end up doing all these workarounds and to update the content. Oh yeah. Tables. There is not a lot of shortcuts like there should be.
But once you select one of those table tools design preset formatting options, you can right click on that option and set it as the default. So every time you insert a table, that same table will come up. But I believe that doesn't survive saving it as the file as a POTX, does it?
I believe
it does. It does. Survive.
Is it one of the ones that travels? Does this one travel with the file? So if you set the default, I get it and I can still use it, right?
Right.
Unlike a chart, whereas if you set it and I get it, I don't actually have it as a preset. I got to go save my own version.
Right.
So this has some advantages. Again, it has some disadvantages. The little icons are not customized. They're all little icons. So if you have like four different custom tables, they're all little icons. You got to roll over them. Mm-hmm. Actually, wait, can you save multiple ones? No, I got to think this through.
Only one.
That's the problem. Yeah, you can't save multiple. If you have two different types of tables, pick the one you want to set as the default.
But I do remember we brought this up in one of our early podcasts, and one of our listeners wrote in and said it does survive the POTX now.
Which is good.
Well, talking about tables always makes me sad.
Let's move on, please.
Is there anything else with masters? Let's go back into the back end stuff. Anything on the master slides, master layouts?
Did we talk about shift normal? Again, that little icon down at the bottom right. If you click shift normal, you'll go right to the master.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is how to get into the master. Sorry, I thought you were talking about how to format it. Yes. Don't forget double click, because shift normal, the normal view in the lower task, what do you call that? The lower bar that takes you to that master layout. But if you double click it, it takes you to the master slide at the top of that list.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. And that's my big thing is I like doing that one. I will also say we have the open button on our QAT, master button on. You can also shift double click on it and it works the same way.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. Because what happens when you want to go into your slide, into your masters, you're on a slide, you want to make a change to the master, you accidentally make it to the layout instead of the master, and and you wreck it. Yep. So I like that. Good habit to be in.
Masters. Okay, so this is kind of a text tip and a master slide tip. So when you have a new slide and you want, let's just say the title area, you want it to be all caps. A lot of people will make their description text. They'll say the title goes here in all caps. So you're telling the person what to do. But you can actually preset it so that any text you type is all caps, but it's a little abstract on how to get to it. So when you're in the master slide, hold on, shift, double click. Hey, I'm at the master. Mm-hmm. You select the placeholder box, and then you have to go to the font dial. Is it just called font dialog? Just called the font dialog. You open up the font, the pop-up dialog, and you just check mark all caps. And therefore, everything in that text box will always be all caps. So anytime anybody adds a slide, it just automatically puts in all caps. You could choose other things too. Small caps or I think you can do the capitalize each word and other options there.
No, you can equalize character heights. You can't do,
You can't, can you?
Okay. No.
So anyways, it's a master slide setup. So if you need a section that's all caps, you can preset it so that placeholder will only use all caps it'll use all caps by default anytime anybody starts typing. It's a very cool trick.
It's a great tool. Cool.
Oh, you know, I got one more. I know we're totally out of time. I'm going to end it on this one.
Very long.
It's all shortcuts. Yeah, but very long talking. The notes button, presenter notes that are displayed down below. First thing is the notes button itself. So on the very bottom right-hand side of the interface, that's a toggle. It's just on or off. So it kind of dynamically raises or lowers it. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. And it's a really, really cool feature. You can resize the amount of notes previewed. So it could be like really short. So it's one or two lines, or you can make it huge. So it's like 2/3 of the edit area. So the slide itself gets really small. Mm-hmm. So you can preset that and then you save the file. That height is saved into the file. So if I want one where it's a sales presentation and I'm handing it off to my sales team and I want them to read all of the information, not just look at the slides, but I want them to read the presenter notes because that's their script. We'll put the notes in there and then we'll size that notes area so it's just huge. I mean, well, it's 2/3 of it. Hit save. So this time, anytime anybody opens up the presentation, assumably they're salespeople, they open it up and they're going to see that there are notes in there because they're taking up almost their entire screen. And they can resize it. They can turn it on or off, but the file that went out is preset. Or if you don't want any notes because there's none in it, just turn it off and save the file. So when everybody opens the file, they're not there. So it's a cool shortcut for handing off presentations, in my opinion.
It's tricky. I like it.
Okay. How to end a conversation where I think we could just keep going for quite a while longer. If you use Microsoft PowerPoint, it may take a few times of listening to this to catch all the shortcuts we just talked about because we really didn't have a presentation order. It's more of a, hey, how about this? Thanks for listening. If you have 90 seconds, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It would be phenomenal. Thank you. If you have another 90 seconds, send us an email with topic ideas, how you found us, because that's always of interest to us, or just to say hello or give us some interesting information. Have a fantastic presentation week, everybody. And we are going to do some we're not totally done. We're going to still do pro and tech tips. So let's do them.
All right. Pro and tech tips. Troy, you go first.
Oh, okay. I will go first. This is geek tech tip. So here's the story. And I may have said this before. We went up to San Francisco to tour the university there with our daughter. And our daughter says, hey, let's go to a movie tonight because we got the night free. Sure, let's go to a movie. We pick a movie, pick the movie theater we're going to go to in the downtown area near the hotel. And she says, I'll tell you what, I'll buy my movie ticket if you buy popcorn and a slushie. We're like, hey, that's a good deal. We'll spend $6 instead of $15. She is using MoviePass. Do you guys have MoviePass? Are you familiar with this?
Familiar. I've not used it. It's got good and bad press.
Yeah, exactly. MoviePass is a subscription to go to almost any theater in the country. Now, back when we did it, it was definitely any theater. And so we didn't know, we bought our popcorn and slushy for her and she's like, then tells us that we've been had, that we just spent $18 on our movie pass, and we bought her gifts, and she got her movie for free because she's paying $9.95 a month to get into as many movies as she wants, which is really funny. I should have put two and two together, because all summer long she's been going to the movies with her friends. I was thinking, you're working and you're spending every bit of your money going to the movies. Well, she wasn't. We went ahead and subscribed to Movie Pass. I don't see a lot of movies, but I was like, hey, for $10 a month, I see two movies a month. I normally only see one, but I'm like, hey, this will encourage me to go see a second one. It'd be worth it. Well, since then, they've had a lot of, they're trying to find their business model. Movie theaters just weren't making any money. So now it's three movies a month, which is a good deal. They can be premier movies, but there's a couple of different ways they access them. We like to use the e-ticket movie theaters because we actually get to pick the movie, pick our seat, and we're done. If it's one where you have to go there, you actually have to show up and sign in and get your ticket, but there's a chance they won't have it. Anyways, so I'm just saying MoviePass, it's a pretty cool deal. It's much more limited than when it was even 6 months ago, but it's kind of a cool thing. I've actually seen more movies in the past 3 months than I've seen probably in the past 3 years.
Sandy, what do you got?
Well, mine is, I have to explore this a little bit more, but yesterday, Ellen Finkelstein posted her recommendations on Amazon. And what she has is a personal recommendations page. There's a link to it in the notes, but under her name, and she's got her own custom banner, are the products she buys on Amazon and recommends to others.
Huh.
I think, well, first of all, we should be doing that. The podcast should be doing that. I know. I don't know, her URL has the word influencer in it. So I don't know. I'll have to talk with her more about it, but I'm bringing it up because what a cool concept.
That's kind of a cool idea. I did not know about that. Find out more details. Let me know.
I will.
Nolan, what do you got?
I got Adobe Bridge, the long lost forgotten Adobe program. First of all, I did not know this until doing a little research, but Adobe Bridge is free for anybody. You don't have to, you have to have an Adobe account, but you don't have to actually give them any money for an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription. So anybody can get this. And what it is it's a management tool for media, basically. And I most people use it just for photos, although any files, you can browse and you can do a whole bunch of stuff with it. You can organize files. The thing that you can easily review picks at different, instead of using the Finder window, you can set, the size you want to view pictures, and you can set, favorites and go back to different folders. The thing that I use it for is batch processing and specifically renaming folders. So this is kind of a shortcut thing. Let's say I have a whole bunch of photos or files, anything that I want to rename. I want to sequentially order them or change all the name from one thing to another. I can do that. You can do that all from Bridge, and you have a lot of options to do it. So it's a great little organizational tool that I pull out like once every couple months, and I realize, oh, Bridge can do that. Like that Bridge can do that much quicker than I'm doing it this way. And I'm sure it's much more powerful than I'm describing, but that's what I use it for.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional design studio with a design team focused on presentation design for presentation messaging, design, templates, or show site graphics ops that are real presentation designers. Check us out at www.tlccreative.com and our presentation blog, thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, Present Your Story, for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if you're looking for on-site customized training in data visualization and/or presentation, give us a holler. You can also find more information at nolanhamescreative.com.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and my blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as PPTWhiz.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.